All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we're very happy. We have actually our you can refer to me really as our presenter for Green Left Radio, even though he's not currently presenting at the moment because he's working right now. But we have Zane, our very own Zane Alcorn, on the program today, who is a rank and file CFMEU member and construction worker. And so we have him. We're having him on the program to have a bit of a discussion, especially in the context of all the events that are kind of happening in the past 4 days, which we're speaking about at the start of the program, in terms of these anti-lockdown far-right protests, which essentially was started off, you know, outside the CFMU office and so on. So, yeah, good morning, Zane.
How's it going? Good to be back.
And this is Felix here as well. Zane, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Yeah, well, obviously this is the big news story of the week. It's been, you know, fascinating and horrifying to see all of the protests taking over parts of the city and also the police brutality. What's your perspective on how things started and what's going on there with the construction workers and the protests?
Well, it's a big question. I guess there's probably two things. One of the things that's really concerning is we know that from reading about the history of fascist movements and how they organise, that one of the main sources of resistance to fascist organisations is trade unions, the mass organisations of the working class. And so fascists will consciously try and build a base in the trade unions and will try and get in there and disrupt and attack and try and disable and, bring down the unions and hobble them as part of removing a barrier to build their, horrible organisations and building their power. So the CFMEU, obviously it's widely regarded as one of the strongest and most militant unions, and that dates back many decades to the history of the union and the BLF green bands and, that sort of strength and militancy of the CFMEU is built up over and consolidated over many decades. So we know that these sort of far-right and conspiracist anti-vaxxer types have been wanting to target the CFMEU offices. So they called a protest there that was going to happen on the weekend. And then, as we know, the police set this really, from a civil liberties perspective, a really troubling precedent where they've shut down all public transport to stop this protest happening. I don't like the anti-vaxxers, but what we're seeing at the moment is the state and the anti-vaxxers feeding off each other. And the police are using these ever more, like, crazy psycho weapons like the pepper guns and these tear gas cannon things, and shutting down public transport, shutting off the city. That's a really dangerous precedent, I think, for when we're getting back to having big union rallies, climate rallies, all that sort of stuff. So a rally that was going to target the CFMEU office last Saturday, which was organised by forces outside of the CFMEU, which the CFMEU did not endorse and came out publicly saying, we don't endorse this rally. That rally didn't happen on the Saturday, and then it kind of got shifted forward and happened on the Monday. Now, this coincided with a big outbreak. Some reports in the media that up to 1 in 8 cases in the current COVID outbreak in Victoria can be traced back to construction sites. There's some debate about that, but I think it is fair to say that there's a fair bit of transmission happening on construction sites. So late last week, the Victorian government, I think, in a really sort of captain's call, rushed, non-consultative kind of way, there's probably reasons why they did it in this haphazard way, but they brought in these two changes for construction to try and, as a band-aid almost, fight these outbreaks that are happening on construction sites, which was the closure of the tea rooms and implementing mandatory vaccination. And that was all to be done within 1 week. So every construction worker in Victoria had 1 week to get vaxxed And if you didn't, you are no longer allowed to work in construction. Now, those things added into the explosive situation.
I'm really interested in the dynamic where you've got the far-right anti-vaxxer conspiracy movement, which is, we've seen it manifested in a few different ways, like the Trump-type attitude. And you have the rank-and-file union construction workers, and they're in opposition to the demands and the actions of these far-right people who are basically attacking the CFMU and trashing the front of their office. You've also got the state government who they're forcing a mandatory vaccination in a sort of like a very sudden, unexpected way, which has shocked a lot of the people in construction, and I'm not sure how much the union was involved in this decision. Could you sort of help to maybe untangle, because you're a worker in the construction industry and you're a member of CFMEU, so you probably have some perspective of how much of this is an organic feeling of construction workers and how much is being influenced by the far right here. Can you help untangle that a little bit for us? And where these sentiments are coming from?
I think it is a complex issue, and so I'll try and untangle it a bit, but it's inherently difficult to untangle. So I think part of it is last year the CFMEU formed this united front with the Master Builders Association, the National Electrical blah blah association, whatever, like all the peaks of industry bodies, and announced that they would be pushing to keep the industry open through the pandemic. I wrote an article for Green Left at the time, and there was a lot of people commenting on the CFMEU Facebook at the time saying this is a really problematic step that the union is taking, because the message basically, when you boil it all down, was your lucrative paycheck on a union site is worth the risk that you are going to subject yourself and your family to by continuing to go to work. Now, the CFMEU did implement pretty rigorous safety measures on building sites, and credit where it's due, even WorkSafe have acknowledged that the big union sites are the gold standard of COVID safety control measures. So I'm not trying to say that the CFMEU has not put effort into trying to make building sites as safe as possible. But I think the position of the union, that the way that we are going to kind of protect your livelihood through the pandemic is to push to keep the industry open, it really was a problem, because traditionally the position of the CFMEU has been safety first. Your safety comes first above all other considerations on the job. I don't think this position of we will use our political clout to try and push to keep the industry open is consistent with that. So that's a factor. And it comes as part of the long term. I think a lot of social democratic political parties like the Labour Party in recent decades and a lot of trade unions, they've stepped back from taking a stance on social issues like around refugees, climate, speaking out against, for example, the fascist sort of mobilisations that were happening 5 years ago, like Reclaim Australia. And they have this small target idea. We will just focus on protecting workers' pay and conditions. Strategically, there is some logic behind that. Rather than, we want to make this a broad church. We don't want to have barriers to people joining the union. There is an argument to that, but I think you can go too far in that direction, and you can create a vacuum where the union is not building a culture amongst its membership and showing leadership that no, we are a socially minded organisation that cares about society and wants to steer it in a progressive direction. So I think that's been a problem over the last, as the pandemic has rolled on. People are frustrated by the lockdowns, and people are sort of, in many cases, people have lost their job in construction or in other industries, and the income support is not sufficient.
I definitely can see that you, if for construction workers, they work very hard and they get a lot of overtime if they're in a job which is consistent and that they can get the extra hours. And a lot of them, they really do need to pay their bills, and they're worried about the whole industry shutting down and then not getting the support from the government in order to pay them to not be at work. I can definitely see their perspective. How do you feel that we can show solidarity with the workers and urge them to get vaccinated and to follow the health advice here, even the way that the state government's been quite heavy-handed about their messaging and you know, they're sort of mandating the vaccine and not being very communicative. But from the ground up, from the rank and file perspective, what can we do to encourage workers to get vaccinated, to get out of this pandemic and to stay healthy?
At the moment, Campaign Against Racism and Fascism have organised this campaign or this little social media thing where construction workers are being encouraged to hold up a sign which says, "Don't be a scab, get the jab," or if that's a bit provocative, that message, you know, show solidarity with health workers, get vaccinated. Because I guess what I was getting to there is, I think a lot of construction workers have, unfortunately, or actually a fringe of construction workers, actually I think a majority of CFMEU members in particular, have been vaccinated and do support public health measures. But there's clearly a fringe who have really gone off the garden path and have been able to be sort of drawn into the tractor beam of these really reactionary anti-vaxxer forces. So at the moment, this is kind of grassroots campaign amongst some rank and file construction workers, not just CFMEU, but also ETU plumbers, where you hold up a little sign that says, "Don't be a scab, get the jab," stand in solidarity with healthcare workers, because that's what it's all about. The lockdown's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it's a pandemic. People are dying from this virus, and it's really important to maximise the uptake of vaccination so we're not flooding our hospitals with pandemic victims. But yeah, I think just to finish the or to get towards the end point here, it's really difficult for progressives at the moment, because in any other situation, if a bunch of far-right agitators were able to pick off a section of the rank and file of a union and go and smash up their office, there would be a big response immediately. But because of the public health measures and because we don't want to create a super spreader event, I think there's a lot of people all across Melbourne right now who are itching to respond and get out there and do as we have done in recent years and counter-mobilise against these far-right idiots.
That's actually a good point, that there's no opportunity for us who really are totally committed to doing what we can to stop the virus. There's no opportunity for us to create a counterbalance to the protests that don't care about this stuff.
Mm.
Do you have any final quick thoughts before we're almost out of time here for the program? But if you want to...
Well, I think... It can't be left up to the far left. And in recent years, it has mainly been far left socialist groups, anarchists confronting fascists. This resurgence now around anti-vax stuff is really concerning. It can't just be left up to the far left. But I also think, actually, a lot of mainstream people who've stood back in the union movement and you know, in the broader kind of progressive side of politics in recent years, and haven't really mobilised against Reclaim Australia and that, they're going to want to get out and confront this now. So I think there's a lot of potential to build a very big, united response in the streets as soon as it's safe to do so. And I think that's really important for us to all be working towards now, because this attack on the CFMEU, it's an attack on all unions, and it's a dangerous precedent that needs to be confronted very decisively.